It's the Paul Patterson and Tom Scalin podcast show. They're talking the walk and not about sloppy joes. So, talk and walk show. Where could Tom Scalin be? The man's probably sleeping. It's past 7:30. We got a guest host, Willie Nelson. Could it be? His last name is Nelson, but his first name is actually Lee.
Welcome back to episode 74, Parent Trap of Talking the Walk. I am Paul Patterson.
And I'm Tom Scalin.
Guest host Lee Nelson.
So here's the thing. Not that people are going to know that ahead of time, but do I play both intros?
No, we need a different intro.
Yep.
We need one for all three of us being together.
And an explanation of the new rules that we're playing by.
Okay. You can play like the Three Stooges theme song.
That'd be appropriate.
I got one guy covered. You know what's weird? The minute that you said 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, record, my gallery switched. Everybody's position moved one to the left.
Did it really?
Yeah.
You have that much power over there in Indianola?
I'm just sitting here.
It just was weird. Everybody moved.
Well, I need to decide what I'm doing with the theme song. I may play both just to make people listen to it for just a little bit longer. Bailey Bishop and her original artwork. Jake Brown and all of his original music, social media and Tyler Stanley, fact checker, Jill Martin, and then marketing, Jeff Gravy. Watch update. Yeah, didn't get, thank you, Lee, for shaking your head disgustingly at me. And you should. Everyone listening should be shaking their head. What an absolute waste of a human being.
Were you active at all this month? Like, did you do anything?
I was short. I was short by just under 100 hours. 100 minutes, I mean. 100 minutes, not 100 hours. 100 minutes.
What was it to start the – yeah, what was it to start the
– 768 minutes a day, I think. Now this month is a – yeah, leave me alone.
I think it was way less than that because you were scoffing when I was on here 2 weeks ago that it was at 59 minutes, and I know that you weren't making up time.
Yeah. Anyway, I failed.
I don't think they take into account that it's winter.
Failed again. 1,100 calories a day is the February challenge. We'll see. I don't know what February is going to bring us.
Breakfast for Paul.
No, this is burning. So as you are active, you have to get so many calories a day burned, and your watch keeps track of that. That's what it is. Not how many calories did I eat a day. Good grief. I'm champion of that right now.
Yeah, why don't they give you one of those? Like, they know what the last few months have been like. Why don't they give you something you can accomplish?
With a special message.
That's a great question.
You've adjusted your watch.
I don't know. At least it hasn't popped up and told me that I am a complete failure. So that's at least one positive out of the deal. So here is the brain trust that we all are. This is the change in what we're doing. It is not taking place tonight because they knew ahead of time what at least the name of it was and kind of a little bit of a premise. But when the three of us are on together hosting, it is going to be very similar to some other podcasts that are out there where people don't know what the topic is and we're just going to get rolling in it and we're going to talk about it. So I think that'll be
happy with my preparation time for all the other ones,
right? Because there is so much prep.
I feel like my preparation time would be counted kind of like Paul's activity time on his watch.
I'd be short 100 hours
minutes.
You said
yours yeah. Probably was hours.
It was minutes. I swear it was minutes. I misspoke. It was minutes. Okay. Katie's Theater. Both of you get to guess now. Kind of excited.
Five. Is it Disney? Five.
Well, I've been slacking. Not a lot of movie watching going on.
Is there any crying?
Yeah.
Did watch Can You Keep a Secret? It's on Netflix. It's a romantic comedy. I needed something easy to watch while working, and this was perfect. Christy should watch this one.
Five.
I'm going to say four, just because she was at work and her attention was diverted.
It was a five. It was a romantic comedy. And then she has two Netflix series that she recommends. They are suspenseful. Stay Close and The Stranger.
Love The Stranger. Really good.
Okay. So that's a hit.
Is and The Stranger the one that was on HBO with Jason Bateman?
No.
They're Netflix. They're Netflix, she said.
Oh, yeah. I don't know The Stranger.
And then Stay Close was the other one.
Yeah, I know that one. I'm not doing it.
Also, have seen Forrest Gump multiple times. Classic movie that everyone must watch. The sad parts bring the rating down a bit for me. So what did she give Forrest Gump?
Four.
Four out of five. Excellent. Excellent job tonight. That's good work. So at the end of the day, if, again, you have any movies that you recommend for Katie, send them our way and we'll get them. Here's the question. You ready?
I did tell her one. I told her to watch Stardust.
Okay. I've not seen
that one up.
Yeah, I've not seen it. Are you ready for the question? Which sporting event do you place the most emphasis on or make the biggest deal out of? So having people over, you're going to have lots of food, you're going to have drinks. What one is the one that you are, is it a bowl game? Is it a big football game? Is it a basketball game? Is it, what is it, World Series for you, Lee, if the Braves are in it?
I think those are two different questions. I think the one that you put the most emphasis on, if it's like having people over or having food, I think for me is the Super Bowl.
Okay.
But the one that I personally put the most emphasis on would be the Masters.
But do you have people over for that one?
No, but that's the one I look forward to, and I put the personal most emphasis on.
Okay, so I'll read the question how I have it written. Sporting event that you make the biggest deal out of. So you would say?
Personally, I would say the Masters.
Okay.
I would say with everyone else included would be the Super Bowl.
Okay. Scallon?
If the Hawkeyes make a bowl game, that's usually when we might get together with family and stuff and watch that. Otherwise, I mean, sometimes the first or second Hawkeye game of the year, Iowa okay. State sometimes.
Okay. And the interesting thing for you, Lee, is that you pick like the Masters, that's a multiple day event.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, the only, and part of the reason why I'm asking that was I didn't know how many people placed a big deal or made an emphasis on like multiple, like best of seven series when it comes to the World Series versus NBA finals, things like that, where you have to play multiple games or an NCAA tournament game, you know, or an NCAA tournament day. Maybe it wasn't a game in particular, but a whole day of, you know, maybe the first two rounds of, or the first 2 days of NCAA tournament.
Well, I think the difference with those is it doesn't matter who's playing. So those would be fun. But like Tom said, there are certain Iowa games where you get together with people and maybe it's a night game or whatever it is. But as far as just the sporting event itself, I don't think the Super Bowl or the Masters changes for me, regardless okay. who's in.
Yeah, I would tell you if the NFL playoffs would be like this every year, then those would become major events. It's just a lot of times I enjoy watching the NFL. I know a lot of people are like, I just like to watch college, but I enjoy the NFL as well. And this year has been unreal. You know, every game after the first weekend.
I would tell you that for me, a big sporting event that I'm going to have other people over at cannot have a team that I'm rooting for.
I think we've watched one Cowboy Green Bay game together.
Correct. And we've also watched a Badgers game together.
Yeah.
When they played Kentucky. No, it was national. Was it national championship and they lost to Duke? I don't know. We watched one and the Badgers didn't win. So I was very, I'm not coming back. Anyway.
But as a college fan, and if you're an Iowa fan, we've never had the make or break game. You know, we haven't had a national championship game. You know, like I'd feel the same way if I'm talking professional sports. Like I'm a 49ers fan, which was great when they played the Cowboys and the Packers. But when they lost the Rams, like either way, I didn't want to have people around for that. Cause it's like, it's a finality. Like it's they either win or they're done. We haven't had really one of those. I know like that could happen in the NCAA tournament with Iowa, but when you're talking about the round of 32, like doesn't really matter.
What about the Big Ten championship game?
Different. Yeah, no? There's still another game. If you're in the Big Ten championship, you're playing in the NCAA tournament.
So the bowl game? No.
What the Rose Bowl? I mean, that's been the coolest thing that's probably happened since I've been alive with Iowa. I mean, again, if they win, it's awesome. But if they lose, it's the same result. I mean, it's done.
Okay. I'm different. I mean, bowl games are bigger to me when they make them. I was disappointed not being Kentucky. Those are still big games for me. I'm kind of the same though about basketball with the Big Ten tournament. I'm not, if they made it to the championship, that's really cool. I'm going to watch it, but I'm not distraught because what Lee said, well, they're in the tourney. We'll see if they make a run. I suppose of all the years last year, I was the most disappointed in Hawkeye basketball. I don't know why. I knew that was going to happen, you know, that they weren't going to go far. And yet I tried to believe that they would a little bit.
Go ahead, Lee.
At least Iowa took care of that like in 5 minutes. Like you knew that they were done. So that was kind of nice, I'll be honest.
And I'm the same way as far as, especially as I've gotten older, you know, there are times we've gone to Iowa State football game parties and I start to get irritated because I want to watch what they're doing. Now it's pretty easy to watch Iowa on defense because I'm not saying I know what they're doing, but I think all of us have a pretty good idea. And conversely, it's also pretty easy to watch outside zone and inside zone, you know, and then people look at me like when I get all jacked up, when they pull somebody, I'm like, oh my gosh, they just pulled a guy. They're like, what's the big deal about that? And I get kind of geeky. So it's better to watch on my own and see what people are doing defensively and things like that.
Does day of the week matter? No,
not for big games. I don't think.
How about time of day? Like an 8:30 kickoff or an 8:30 tip as opposed to a 5 o'clock.
Well, that's funny because the NFL playoffs, part of the reason why it's such a good thing from a fan perspective is they don't have the super late kickoffs. I mean, the 49ers Packers, I think was 7:30. That's a Saturday, a little different than a Sunday night 7:30 game, but you know, on the NFC championship, it was 5:30. Like that game's done at a pretty decent time where you watch the whole thing on a Sunday night. That gets late.
So it does matter. The start time matters more than the day of the week.
Especially if you want to try and watch anything in the Pac-10. Yeah. 10 o'clock at night, you know, and then true. I'm asleep. The best thing in the world that ever happened is a DVR. I'm DVRing the Senior Bowl because I just want to watch that and watch it. And now I don't have to sit down and watch it at any of those times. I can just DVR and watch it when I want. So if I'm off to 18,000 soccer games, I can let that all happen and not be sitting there grumpy. And actually, it's much better because I can skip commercials. And most of the time when I DVR a football game is to have enough time elapsed that I can get through halftime. And then if I have to watch the second half live, fine. But then you just have to turn your notifications and stuff off. It's just, I love the DVR.
Okay. That's a confessional. We're taking that as a confessional as we get ready to roll into the confessional. Tom Scallon loves the DVR. Lee, you got one? Confessional, are you hopping in?
You always go first.
Well, Tom just went first.
I was forced.
You made it a confessional. That wasn't okay. Even a confessional.
So I am, as I get older, and I probably have mentioned this already, I'm getting a little bit more judgy on things. And one of the things that is, quit making that face. I'm
more judgy. Like you're not judgy. You're more as judgy of a person I've ever met in my life.
More judgy. Getting to the point where opposing teams, when I have to go keep score on the road, their bookkeeper, if they don't do it the way that I like, I really struggle with them. I just thought I'd share that.
Well, doesn't everybody have their own kind of way?
But don't they first for off, everything?
You're left-handed, so you're screwed up the like whole it. System. You have to sit on a certain side.
I would tell you that as a home bookkeeper and an official bookkeeper, one of my jobs is to communicate very clearly and often with what's going on in the game. Minute score, who had the bucket, who took the timeout, whose jump ball, all of those things, free throw made, not made, who's the foul on, how many team fouls. All of those things I think are important. And when the person who is the official bookkeeper does not speak very often, then I think that can cause some problems and where things become amiss. And in the last two times that I've had to do it, one time I could not keep my mouth shut and I chewed on the guy that was doing it. And then I just became very irritated on the last one that I had to do. So.
Well, you take your striped shirt serious.
I take bookkeeping very serious, especially in close games. I do not want anything to come down and them say it's different than what I have. So that's where I'm at with that.
Okay. I don't have one.
Yeah, you do. Yep. It was a good one, too. You love the DVR. Love the DVR.
My confessional is actually along the same lines because I was the visiting scorekeeper last night in Grinnell. Grinnell's is really good, by the way. If you're talking about the things that he says it the whole time. Almost more than I
disagree
want.
Wholeheartedly with you.
Like, I don't.
He didn't say a word when I sat next to him. And then that's when I was like, do you talk?
Is it because maybe you aren't very friendly? He talked the entire time.
Or maybe somebody went there and chewed on him about not talking. And now that's all he does is talk.
Yeah. I think people can talk too much. I just want to keep my book. But the thing that drives me crazy is that the official scorekeeper has to wear the stripes like the official. I think that is just stupid.
I agree wholeheartly with that, too.
So dumb. Like, you don't know who the official scorekeeper is?
Like, it's one of my favorite things to see, Paul in his shirt.
So dumb. That's my confessional. I think that's stupid.
Okay. I think that's a good confession. I like it. Okay. Moving on to feedback. And, of course, our last episode was about leave, sick time, and time off. So this is from Meat, also known as Jeff Cleaver. I don't have much to say about how leave works in the education world as I haven't lived that life in a very long time. And K-12 education is a unique workplace. I will say that when I was subbing, there seemed to be some teachers who were, and he air quoted, sick considerably more than others. I have strong feelings on how leave works in the business world. In short, I wish more companies, organizations would move to straight PTO and stop carving out different types of PTO. Instead of giving people sick days, vacation days, personal days, mental health days, et cetera. Just give people the days and let them use those days as they see fit. I can see a carve out for something like paternal leave when a new child arrives, birth or adoption. But otherwise, from a company standpoint, time is time. Companies shouldn't really care how you are using the time. From the company standpoint, we pay you to not work X amount of days. Whether you are sick or vacationing or watching opening day baseball games, the company shouldn't really care. I can stand on my soapbox a long time in this, but I'll leave it there for now. So that's from Meat, also known as Jeff. So Christy is the next one. Maximum capacity. So this is two episodes ago. Maybe if Paul gets rid of the useless quotes he knows from so many TV shows and movies, he can remember things he wants to. I seem to want to remember those, right? Because they made an impression on me. I need to believe is what Lee said.
They're memorable.
See, I believe the reason that people post pictures of how cold the temp is to let our friends, family who live in warmer locations realize how bad it is.
But do you, like, if you post a degree, do you realize how cold it is? Or do you realize it when you walk outside and you're like, damn, it's cold?
I think her point is like for her, for instance, her parents are in Arizona. So when it's -4, she wants to send that to her parents and say, yeah, good move being in Arizona.
Yeah, I'd agree with that because my friend in California, Murr,
who worked at the library.
He worked at the library. Whenever we talk about how cold it is or we got a shovel or whatever, he always laughs and I'm off to the beach, but he lived the life here for a long time. So if you didn't ever live here, I'm with you, Lee, in that you'd be like, yeah, what's that? You know, until you got here and you're like, holy crap, that's really cold.
So that's where that comes from. In her defense, right? I mean, anyway, Ferris Bueller, throwing up, flu, sinus, runny nose, cough, cold. Remedy is usually over-the-counter meds. If sinus infection, I go to the chiro, as I found an adjustment helps. Paul had a Marvel addiction with his uncontrollable binge watching. He disappeared for days and hours. Wholeheartedly. She also told me that I had to stop talking to you guys at lunch. I think I told you that. I can't talk to you guys anymore at lunch. Katie, not a movie, but you should watch Sweet Magnolias on Netflix. 5 stars. Second season starts in February. You'll thank me. In the business world, generally, you can carry over 40 hours per year if you didn't use them. More than that, if you lose them, no payout. We also no longer have separate sick time and vacation time. We have a number of PTO days that starts over each January 1st. And our PTO is for a 12-month work calendar. Also, PTO is earned or increased by the number of years of service. Why can't teachers who cover other people's warrior time also receive a stipend for that? You are still covering an open period, and I'm sure the administration wouldn't want the warrior time left open with kids sitting in a room by themselves. That's where he's at. Dennis Bura. So he was excited about the last episode because it was going to be episode number 73, which was his number in high school and when he was at NIAC. I had no clue on that one. I thought it was all about us trying to get this married couple from Rudy's to come be guests on the podcast, but it was not about that. It was purely about it being number 73.
Was that true though? I mean, there was a thing in that place, right?
I don't remember that, but I'm glad that you maybe, and maybe we'll find somebody come out of the woodwork. No pun intended there. Caleb Seymour. You'll have to give Brown some credit because your guy's theme song is randomly stuck in my head.
That's too bad. Really, really too bad.
I thought it was really funny, though, that he sent that to me from a just a random text. And then Thomas Minor, what education do you need to become a substitute? And then I just said a college degree in anything or education. And I said anything. It is called desperation. And then he said, interesting. So we'll see if Tommy Minert applies to be a substitute teacher in West Des Moines or Des Moines.
Well, I like what somebody put out on Twitter, that it should be like having to go and sit on jury duty, get your name pulled and come teach. That would help build a lot of relationships, I think.
Sure would. Rock Sweckle. Interesting pod. One thing I find most interesting about my new job is that they have an on your honor system or something along that verbiage. Essentially, as long as I'm getting my work done and covered by someone else, if needed, I can take as much time off as I want. I don't know if I'm a fan of this system yet. Before I had a certain number of days, felt entitled to those days. Now when I take time off, I feel guilty. Try to limit it to what I feel I would be given at a typical company for PTO, but even that sometimes feels strange when other people don't take much time off. Thanks for sharing all the details of teachers' leave. I had no idea, and it's interesting to learn about a world I interacted with, but never fully understood at the time. Thoughts on that?
Sometime I should have Tommy try to explain how his leave works at Facebook, because I still don't have it figured out. He'll talk about, I have this many days, but I can really take as many as I want. I can go negative if I need to. I think basically he can just do whatever the heck he wants.
Well done. Also, why didn't we have him on as a guest last week?
He wasn't here. He was gone.
He was taking the day off.
It was over Zoom.
Well, we could. No, the person we wanted last week was Melanie. She sits on labor relations. I told her what we talked about on the podcast, and she told me all the things I said wrong. She could have corrected us.
Yeah, that would have been helpful. Would have been helpful. Okay. Flu. This is from Jeff Gravy. Flu. Sprite, saltines, then chicken noodle soup. Cold. I am all about the NyQuil. Green Death Serum flavor, please. Oh, man. Opening a can of worms for my response here. We cannot sustain what is going on currently. Last Thursday, I was the only PE teacher in the middle school for half of the day. Due to circumstances out of anyone's control, I had three sections of kids, 6, 7, and 8 grades. Over 60 kids and just me. Like you have said several times, the kids were awesome, but it takes a lot out of a teacher. Yes, teachers get a sub's pay when covered. I think we should get our per diem. Last year, they upped substitute pay to attract subs to keep the school going. Now they need to do the same for teachers as we step up. When we sub in a classroom, we lose time that we have to do other things like prepare for tomorrow lessons. Now that gets pushed back into the time that we should be spent with family. Or like Thursday and my battery is drained and I am short with my own kids because I'm exhausted. Pay per diem and I can use that money to make up some of that time with my family. Maybe take them to KC over spring break. And the phrase self-care needs to be removed from the vocabulary. Thanks for coming to my TED Talk.
So he needs to find his labor relations member, because those, you know, it's a good idea to say let's increase pay for the covering the period, because we're not going to get more subs. Everybody's short subs,
right? Everywhere. And teachers, not just short subs, but short teachers in general. And then Pete Bennett, podcast feedback. I agree with your cold flu categorization. Tom's Coca-Cola remedy for everything reminds me of Chris Rock's Robitussin stand-up bit. Have you guys seen Chris Rock's Robitussin bit? If you get a chance, you need to look it up. It's really funny. Because essentially last week, anytime said there was an ailment, Scallon was like, drink Coca-Cola, have a Coca-Cola, have a Coca-Cola. And Chris Rock's father was very similar, but it was Robitussin. It's pretty funny. You just have to type in Chris Rock and start typing in R-O-B-I, and it'll take you to that clip.
Can you show me how to do that again? Could you show me how to type that in again?
It's old Chris Rock. High school sports, bowling. I know we had senior day last Saturday. I don't know what the results were from that meet, but I know that we had senior day, and I know that they're getting ready for their end of the year competition coming up, and I hopefully we'll have a little bit more details as we get going. I have not seen anything on swimming, any updates, so I don't know. Lee, do you know when that is?
Yeah, district swim meet is Saturday.
Saturday. Okay. Perfect. Where are you at again? I can't remember what you said.
We're at Johnston.
Do you know where we are?
I don't.
Not at Johnston? Did you look at?
I don't think so.
Okay. Basketball. Boys have a big week this week, I think. Found out our district. We talked about that last week. And I see Johnston just had a big upset over Waukee Northwest here. Which and then Johnson is in our district. So when is seating meeting? Do you know that, Lee?
They'll be this weekend. I know ours is Sunday.
Okay. So coming up here, we'll find out if we have a bye the first week, first round, and how all that's going to shake out here.
How does basketball do seating? Do they do it like points, or do they
conference call?
Seed your own. I mean, most of them will probably be in person.
Oh, will they really?
Yeah, at least ours is. And I know last year it was too.
We have Council Bluffs.
Yeah, we have Ottumwa.
And you still think that'll be?
Yeah, I know ours is in person. I'm not saying that they can't Zoom in, but I know that ours is set up to be in person.
So when you say seed your own, you mean that everybody just, I think we should be first, I think we should be second.
And then they vote. Yeah, that's like that in every sport now for boys, where they, baseball would be the other one like that.
Soccer's all based on points.
I got to sit in on one of those when Chris was in Al's office as they were getting ready. And I think it was one of the years that we were in state tournament. but you get to hear why they argue for their why should we be the three, or you typically you've got one team that walks in and says we should be the eight or we should be the six or whatever because they're not very good.
But it's always a much more interesting meeting when the person that thinks that should be the eight thinks they're like no the six or the five. Because mm-hmm. Everybody rolls their eyes and says, oh, here we go.
Even some of those guys that think they should be the four or the five, you know, you can get a pretty heavy argument and disagreement on that. So it's an interesting process. There's no doubt about it.
Well, yeah, to be the five instead of the four?
Or the five instead of the eight. But at this point in time.
In 4A, it becomes – really tricky if you are a Norwalk or an Indianola when you walk in with all the CIML teams and are they going to gang up on you? You know, you play 3A teams or, you know, whatever it is. Like I think it's a silly argument. I mean, good is good. You know, I mean, those teams, I mean, the Little Hawkeye has had the last three class 3A state champions. You can't tell me those teams aren't good.
Went out with my parents to dinner, and my dad sat me down right away, and he said, well, I saw where your seatings were for basketball. You guys are going to get eaten alive. Like, Dad, that's not so. We got a tough conference. You know, you don't play anybody that's 4 or 4A. And I'm like, Indianola is. We schedule other people. Ah. I'm like, Dad, the Little Hawkeye's really good. You guys are dead. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dad. We're done with the conversation.
The you know, and then the other thing is the kid from Council Bluffs is hurt. You know, he's not coming back to play, which makes a what does that do for their argument? I should say
they'll be the two
for sure.
I would guess so.
Now, if he doesn't get hurt, do you think they have an argument to be the one? And Johnson,
they are the clear one if he doesn't get hurt.
If he doesn't get hurt, okay.
Have you played Johnson? Their next game? No.
Okay.
The Council Bluffs AL lost their next game after he got hurt. Like it's just going to be a tough thing. Like their resume probably stands up better than anybody else's, but when you take arguably the best player in the whole state out of the equation, I don't think the resume matters as much because you're talking about when he was there versus when he's not going to be there.
Sure. And he for surely is not.
No.
Building on a shaky foundation.
Yeah. And then girls basketball, you know, we've had a couple of good wins here. Big test for us Friday night as we play Grinnell and did not fare well against them the first time around. So hopefully we see a little bit better showing there. Lee, what do you got?
We talked a little swimming.
I haven't covered wrestling yet.
Bowling, I don't know about anything either, but again, we share with Lincoln. Basketballs, boys had a really nice win against DCG last Friday, played really well. I mean, beat by 30 in DCG, I think is really good. Girls beat Grinnell last night, which was a nice win. So it'll be interesting how the next couple weeks play out and see where we end up in the grand scheme of the tournament.
Have two questions. Anything? Go ahead.
First one, who do you have Friday?
Oskaloosa.
You have Oski. Okay. And then Al thought Friday is when they would release the girls. Do you feel the same?
They should. I think they released the other classes last week.
Okay.
I think. So, I mean, you would hope, but you just never know. I mean, they kind of do their own thing. You just kind of at their mercy.
Scallon, what'd you have?
I was just wondering if Lee had heard anything about it's swimming and are all the Des Moines schools going to go together?
For the, like their team?
I've been hearing everybody, but like maybe Roosevelt, that Lincoln and North and Hoover may all go together and then tell us to hit the road.
I have not heard that, but if that does happen, we have a pool and we have a team. We'll take some people. I will guarantee you that.
Is that because Brayton is out.
Numbers are just dwindling for swimming, I think, everywhere but Roosevelt.
Okay. I didn't know if Brayton's
– Brayton being out has hurt Lincoln's numbers for swimming.
Makes sense. Really good.
And then wrestling for us, you know, lost to Ennenoler last Thursday. Good, great meet. And then we had a good JV tournament on Monday. And now we wrestle Valley tomorrow night. And then, of course, we have a week off, and then we'll be back for duels. We are at Waukee Northwest with Ankeny Centennial, and then it'll be sectional time. Sectional or district? Which one is?
District. Sectional district. Is 1A and 2A.
Will be district time then next week.
Yeah, that duel with Norwalk last Thursday was as good of a wrestling environment as I've been in since ever. It was the crowd was good. I mean, the wrestling was good. It comes down to the last match. I mean, I don't think you can draw it up much better for a good duel. We did win the conference title on Saturday at Oskaloosa, and then we will host Bondurant, Farrar, and Ottumwa on that regional duel night.
Is that next Wednesday?
That is the 9th. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We may have to pick a different night to record then. Maybe. Okay. So that's high school sports. Wrapping it up. Unless you two had anything else to add there. Non-sponsor. Are we ready? Bob's Trophies. It's a great place to go get any awards that you may need. Been around for a long time. Why is it called Bob's Trophies when Eric and Leslie own it? Well, because they didn't want to change the name. That would have been a pain for them after they took over for Bob, who started it. It's a great place. And it is amazing how many different awards they do for they I think they're in charge of the American Rivers Conference. I know they do all the IFCA, all the Iowa Football Coaches Association awards, and I don't know where else they are, but they extend and expand their coverage a lot. Anything, Dan?
Have they still been hit with supply chain issues? Like you can't get certain things, or is that not an issue anymore?
Well, that was the case in the fall. I mean, the one medal that we got, we couldn't get it in, I don't know, whatever color. We couldn't get it in the one color, but we could get it in another color. It was bizarre. Metal was the biggest issue.
They are awesome. Obviously, being local and in town, somebody we use a lot, which I'm sure a lot of people do. But, yeah, Eric and Leslie are really easy to work with, and – I know they probably have a lot on their plate, but it always seems like they can pull off what they need for us, which is much appreciated.
100%. 100%. So, Parent Trap. That's the Papa Burger as we transition. And the first thing you want to know, I think, is that the original Parent Trap was filmed in 1961. And that was, if I remember correct, that was some cinematography magic at the time, based on how they had to do that and some of the things that were never done before. So great job out of them in the original. And then, of course, it was remade in 1998. So that's where we're at with the Parent Trap. And why are we calling this the Parent Trap? Well, because I think things are still going on in the world of athletics that I think people get sucked into and trapped. And it's a little bit of a... and I'll give the backstory as to why it came up for me. But I think it's just something that I wanted to discuss. And so here we are. And basically where it comes back, there's two parts to the story. The first one is we had a young man that went to a visit last Sunday, not 2 days ago or 3 days ago Sunday, but the week before. And the position coach that he will eventually have is when he gets there was talking to him about how the recruiting process went and where they're at. And that was an interesting side to the story, just from the standpoint that I think sometimes, well, he had to explain the difference between being offered and being recruited. And, you know, they were trying to explain that the difference is when you have an offer, that means we have so many scholarships that we can give out every year, and each position has however many there are. And if you accept one of those, then now there's not four, there's only three left if we had four total. And then if you wait too long, then you're all the way down versus being actively sought after to come in and visit and checking in on you and things like that. But then the second piece he talked about was going to outside organizations to work out and train outside of your school, and just where his stance was on all of that and what he thought when it comes to that side of things. And he said he did not believe in it. He didn't think that it was necessary for you to leave your school and go someplace else to have somebody else train you. Because when you get to their place, they're gonna take you in and have you do what they want you to do and not what anybody else wanted you to do. So why the extra layer of training? And then the second side of that is then we had a recruiting coordinator come in from one of the bigger schools in the area. And I asked him about video. What do you watch? And they watch suggestions from the head coach. And if they know that somebody else is getting attention. So Tom Scallon gets an offer from Iowa State. Well, Iowa's going to pay attention to that. And so is Minnesota. And so is Nebraska and Missouri. They're going to pay attention to it. So that's when they start to watch film. They don't watch film if you as the player email them directly or share it with them directly. They don't pay attention if you are in a 7-on-7 league. They don't watch any of that film. They don't watch you working out. They want to see it with their own eyes, and they want to know who's suggesting you to them. So that led me to think, why are we still having a whole bunch of people that are buying into going year-round training for a particular or specific sport for their kid? What is it that's attractive for that year-round training for their kid? That's where I'm at.
Well, I can tell you, we send the boys to what's called Fuerza, which is a skill building for soccer, striking the ball, you know, different moves with the ball, touching the ball with multiple surfaces, et cetera, things like that. And we do that as off-season stuff. You know, we don't do it during season or anything like that, but we do it to help them improve. Some of that is because high school coaches only get so much contact, you know, then the door's open for the rest of these. Now, some other people do it because they think they believe it's going to lead to a scholarship. And I'm having done, you know, football and soccer for this long, those you usually are going to get what you're going to get.
By the way, can we take just a pause? Is Mary in the basement?
Yes, Mary's. She's laying beneath me, chewing on her bone like usual during the podcast.
Okay.
Every time.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, sorry, I interrupted because that was, she was getting after it. Getting after it. So we also see all that information about professional athletes who are multi-sport athletes and how important that is in staying out for other sports. So what is it that causes you to get behind your child not being a multi-sport athlete and focusing solely on one? Is it because the kid loves it and that's the only thing they ever want to do? Is that one? Is it because they want a scholarship? Is it because they think that if they train year-round on this sport that they are going to be a state champion? what is it that causes parents to not pay attention to all that, that information about multi-sport athletes and how important it is to be that, and decide that backing your child in a one sport year round deal is better? Lee, what do you got?
Well, very few industries are not sales industries anymore. So when somebody really good goes to this club or this training place, and then they get a scholarship offer to whatever place, that club then says, you know, we're going to promote this person as getting the scholarship because they came to here. And it's really easy to sell that to people, because most people don't know how good you have to be to get a scholarship in whatever sport, how good you have to be to play a sport at the next level. You know, if you think, you know, locally here, Simpson, I mean, the people that play the sport there are really good. You know, they aren't getting money to go there, but they're really good. And I would say 99% of the time, those people were going to be good enough anyway. But the sales part of it is that because they did this, that is why they got the scholarship offer, whatever it is. And you really can't argue that, because you don't know what it would have been like if they weren't there. So I think that's a big part of it, is people are told that this is why so-and-so got this offer, or again, whatever it is, when you can't really say that because you don't know what it is on the other side. I'm not saying that those places don't help. Like Tom said, he sends his kids there to get better. And if you're better, then you do have a better opportunity to get whatever it is that you're looking for. But
it's just, I don't see most of the offers that I see. I really don't think they were changed by the places that, you know, they go. Then you'd be like, well, why do you send your kids to Fuerza then? Well, they're getting technically better, but you know, my skills, my kids don't make it skilled, more skillful, but they're not 6'5". They don't run like deer. They don't jump high. You know, you have to have, you know, they're not massive. There have to be some genetic things. It just seems like a lot of the things out there, the kids would get the same offer had they just done the things or participated in different sports.
I'll speak just from a basketball perspective. I mean, when I was at Wartburg, we got to play the University of Iowa. We got to play UNI twice. Those guys
three
weren't
for three.
Those guys weren't better than us at basketball. They were just more gifted than us physically. They're bigger, they're stronger, they're faster, whatever it is. That's the biggest difference between the Division I level and Division III level. It's not like they shot the ball or handled it better than we did. They could just do things physically that we were not able to do. And you really can't teach yourself to be a better athlete. You can teach yourself to be more skilled at things. That's a learned thing. For me anyway.
Knowledgeable, yeah, I mean, of the game, understanding how to get your team in a position to win. And yeah. I know as a soccer player, I wasn't a great soccer player, but I was pretty good at picking out the other player on the other team that was handling the ball a lot, or the ball was running through them, just like a basketball game. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of, I'm going to mark this person. And if I mark up close enough to this person, then the rest of them aren't good enough to get the ball to him under pressure. And that would be ways that I tried to help our team win while there was much more gifted athletes running around me.
I mean, I think that's kind of the point with everything, is like sometimes somebody is just better than you. Like you could spend all the time in the world practicing. Somebody's going to be better. It's no different than, you have the kid that doesn't show up to many off-season workouts, and then the first day of practice shows up and you're like, whoa, he's better. He is just better. And he didn't do anything. Well, why does he get to play? My kid puts in all this time and does this and goes to this club. well, he doesn't play because the other kid's better. I realize he didn't put as much time into it, but
a lot of those clubs and the clubs and the and the workout places and all this, all that's talent acquisition as well. You know, Kennedy played on a lot of high-level clubs and she was pretty good, but it was all about, can we find the next good girl to add to this team to try to win state cup, to go to regionals and things like that, so they could do what you said earlier, Lee, post that we put this many teams in state cup, we did this. You know, and so they want to be able to advertise that, look at all these great athletes that we have. Are they, what are they doing with all those great athletes? And are they doing so much that they're going to get scholarships? Only two girls out of the 18, I think, got scholarships, maybe three.
So the question becomes, is that the ultimate goal of the extra work is scholarships? Or is it to be better at your craft? Or are they one and the same? And I guess that's an individual answer for each person that, that decides to go there.
I would say the ultimate goal is to be better, but the goal that is communicated to others is to get to be into the highest level that they can get to. I mean, most of the clubs now are competition based. So like they're going to play a bunch of games. The majority of their time is not spent developing skills. It is to develop exposure for those kids. So you don't get better by being in 12 tournaments versus three. You get better by practicing your craft and working on the things that you aren't very good at. And also the things that, you know, improving the things that you are good at. So I don't think the foundation of those clubs really matches up to getting better. It matches up to getting more exposure to whatever college or pro or whatever it is.
Sure. So again, I'm going to come back to, so we've got really two different things going on, right? We've got the kids who are saying they're going to play a sport year round and find places to go have that happen. And then we're also going to find kids who are supplementing what it is that they're doing at times where they have some free time to be able to get that done or in season. And so there's really two different things that are happening there. Why are parents jumping on board with spending that kind of money wherever it is that they go?
Well, I'll be that old man yelling at the clouds. I think this generation really likes to be, you know, their names on Twitter. I got this scholarship. I'd look at what I've done, which they deserve it for their hard work when they get it. I'm not saying that, but it's just very different from the only thing you ever heard about when I was their age is if you got a scholarship to Iowa, Iowa State, or UNI. You know what I mean? None of the other stuff. And all of that was still good football. You know, I'm not saying it's not, it's just now with all of this advertising and self-advertising, I think people want that scholarship from, let's say, Grandview, which is a fine institution. You know, I'm not saying anything bad about that, but they may only get $2,000, where if they went to Simpson College and had good academics, they could get a ton of their academics paid. But they don't get to say, I got an athletic scholarship.
Today's a prime example with it being signing day. There's a lot of kids that are signing something. I don't even know exactly what they're signing besides something that says, like, I'm about to dump a lot of money into your college, but I'm at signing day. You know, like Tom said, I think even being just a little bit younger than you guys, well, a lot of bit younger than Tom, but you know, like we didn't have signing day if I went to Wartburg like I did. I can't imagine what would I be signing. You know, I mean, the joke is like, what are you signing? Your financial aid agreement? I mean, that's kind of it. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, because I think it's great that we can promote the kids that are going to the next level to play a sport, because it's not easy. And that's still really good athletics at the next level, regardless of what level you're playing. But when you see that so-and-so signed at, like Tom said, Grandview, they may not be signing for any sort of athletic scholarship at all. They may just be signing to say that I am going to Grandview to play whatever sport it is. And that becomes the sexy thing on social media, is to say that I signed there. Nobody ever knows, unless you're really, really good, what you're signing for. Those guys that are getting a football scholarship to the University of Iowa, we know if they're really good, they are not paying a thing. In fact, they're going to make some money out of the deal.
Correct.
But a vast, vast majority are signing to just play. And that's great, but it becomes the sales part of it. See, so-and-so signed at whatever place and they came to our club, and that's why they got there.
So
to me, it goes back to the argument of play multiple sports. I think I wasn't a great athlete, but because I played four sports 1 year, then three sports. And senior year, I dialed it down to just the two things that I could actually accomplish anything at. But being out for basketball helped me learn tactics, helped me learn, you know, how a different game is played, helped me learn humility as I sat the bench. You know what I mean? But I got to learn under different coaches. Having four different coaches helped me. Different styles, different ways they did things. You know, how organized were they versus not as organized? Just all of those things help you become a better person. And I know, you know, again, I wasn't any good at Simpson, but doing all of that at Hoover helped me prepare for playing at Simpson so that I could stay out 4 years and learn the game of football and things like that. I just think it says a lot to be involved in those things, and you're going to learn just as much. I mean, how many times can you go to someplace and learn how to backpedal? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, what's your goal? You know, it used to be like our goal was to make whatever team that we were on the best they could be. I hated baseball, hated playing baseball. And it wasn't that it wasn't fun or that I couldn't do it. It was like, I just didn't really like the sport. But I played it because my friends, that was their favorite sport. And I would expect them to play football or basketball, which were my favorite sports, because I knew that if they were out, we were better. And if I was out for baseball, we were better. I was better than the worst player. I'll tell you that. I don't know how much better, but I was definitely better than the worst baseball player. So I would make our baseball team better. And I don't know if that's necessarily the goal for people anymore. It seems like the goal is what happens to me after high school.
So here's the question. Are you ready? Are all of these new clubs and opportunities for you to go do basketball, baseball, volleyball, football, soccer, tennis, all of these things, are they popping up because there's a need for them? And we need to have that many of them for opportunities for people to go? Or are they popping up because the people who are creating them are seeing a financial opportunity?
I mean, there's no question that the financial part is there. They wouldn't build all these places if there wasn't money being made. I don't know if that's necessarily their goal, is to just make as much money as possible, or if it is to develop kids. But I do know that a majority of them is to expose kids to people that maybe wouldn't see them before, whether that's their financial goal or if that's just what's going to happen with that club. They wouldn't build multi-million dollar facilities if they weren't making multi-more million dollars out of it.
I can tell you that the community park in Judah, Wisconsin, was built back in the 80s because there was a need for a place for our kids at that age to play baseball. And which then turned into adults playing softball there. But there was, we built that park because there was a need. We built that ball field because there was a need for it. We didn't build it because Judah was gonna make lots of money. If you ever drove through Judah, you'd know that Judah didn't have a lot of money. So in that case, we built it because there was a need. I'm starting to think that we're seeing all of these pop up because people know that they can line their pockets. That's what I think.
Well, again, I like sending the boys to Fuerza. I think it's good for them. I think there's a certain point where, like, Quinn might be at the end of his time going there, just because he can do things more with Coach Kralik and stuff like that now. I still think it's good for him, and I don't mind paying the money. But here's what I like. Coach Jamie gets after the little kids. Like, we're going to work. We're here for you know, an hour, and we're going to work. And he puts them through skills. It's not like it's a fun club. Q always comes out and says he has fun, but he gets after them technically. Well, I think that's good. What's my expectation for that? Just for the boys to get better at what they're doing. There's no expectation that this is going to lead to anything down the road. If it leads to somewhere, if suddenly Hugh turns into this demon on the soccer field, great. You know, but I don't think that this is going to get him there. He likes playing soccer, so he does this just to get better.
And in your time, how many new opportunities have there become for them to go do soccer skills?
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. That's the thing of it, you know, and
yeah, football is just going through this. Soccer's had this. This is going on for a while for soccer. Basketball's having this. Baseball, softball, football is just getting hit with it now. And it's,
but we're also seeing more and more kids for us stopping other sports so that they can focus on one sport. That to me, I mean, we've got an influx of that right now. And we've got more and more kids that are leaving our building to go someplace else to do things that they could do in our building.
And yeah. You know, you and I talked the other day where I told you I had a kid come back to me and say, I'm not going to go anymore because Coach Schmidt's workout is actually more focused on what I want to do. And they don't pay attention to me because I'm not anybody that has a name.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know the reality of that. I don't know how much work that kid was putting in there. I do know that our weight room's for free and that Coach Schmidt's, I think, will put you through a workout if you go there every day.
Yeah.
I think the goal used to be, this might sound bad, but like to find a fairly cheap way to keep your kids active.
Sure.
I mean, we used to like build pools, you know, where it would cost a kid $100 for a year. I know it's only 3 or 4 months that it's open, but to have a place to go every day, or like, you know, basketball courts used to be a thing, or they would literally cement courts with chain nets that didn't cost anything for people to go to. And your parents are like, this is great. Like, my kid's going to leave the house for a few hours. I don't have to deal with them. And if they're going to the pool, it only cost me $100 for 3 months. And I don't think that's necessarily the goal anymore. It's like more focused that they think these things will get them to this certain level of athletics, where it used to be, we want our kids to be active. If that means they're swimming or they're playing wiffle ball in somebody's backyard, like, it didn't really matter. It was that our kids are doing something as opposed to not doing something. And now the difference is they're either not doing something or like they've got to go in, and in means financially.
Just so everybody's aware, Northwood, it was a golf course called the Nasty Nine that your child left the house for and came home 12, 13 hours later after about 112 holes. And in Judah, just so you have a little bit of an idea, financially, we did not have enough money to build a pool. So there was no community pool in Judah.
I mean, we rode our bikes to the golf course. You know, it was a couple miles outside of the town, and you rode your bike there and then you walked. Like, it wasn't like we were riding there to hop on a golf cart. We weren't old enough to drive golf carts. But again, like, another thing where nobody was really structuring what we were doing, but we weren't just sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what a cheap babysitter.
Excellent point.
And I think that's also, you know, when you talk about, yes, I agree that those opportunities, like, I got to go play NJTL tennis at Ashby Park rode my bike there, same sort of thing, played tennis. And it was pretty much so mom could get me out of the house because I was a pain in the butt, mm-hmm. you know. And I would tell you with some of the clubs, Kennedy was really lucky. You, Paul, you and I have had this talk where her coaches were all pretty good and pretty on top of it. But she also played at the highest level.
Yep.
That's not always the case. You know, even if you're at a lower level, if you have a great coach, you can learn from that, and that's fine. And that might be worth it to pay for.
Outliers. But Malcolm Gladwell.
Yeah, outliers. Yeah. And so I don't know. I mean, the other thing that always got me, I'm off topic now, but the other thing that always got me is when you, Lee, earlier you talked about 12 tournaments. I remember living that life with my daughter. And I also remember their response after, oh, we didn't win that one. Okay, well, we got another one next week. Oh, we didn't win that. Oh, we got another one. Oh, we won that. Okay, great. Take the picture. Let's go home. I mean, there was no playing for your school versus just playing. And sometimes it just feels like that other stuff is you're just playing, you know, whereas when kids play a high school sport, and if they're lucky enough to get into a playoff, it's just a whole different feel.
When I got home from doing whatever it was that was not structured, the only question was, did you have fun today? I mean, yeah, I had fun. I wasn't around my
parents. No, that's not true. It was, did you do anything wrong today?
Yeah, that might be.
What rules did you break today?
Yeah. Did you get arrested?
But I think that's where, like, did you have fun? Like, if I said, yeah, then yeah, probably did something stupid. But, you know, like, that was just the question. It was like, did you have a good time today? Yeah. I mean, never asked me, like, what, did you learn anything while you were at the courts today? No, I didn't learn anything. I mean, I played basketball with my friends. I played golf with my friends, whatever it was. You know, like, it wasn't about, would you get any offers today? Yeah, there was a lot of people out at the Nasty Nine watching me play golf. Like, I was just doing it because I like to do it.
I'll tell you on the flip side, though, if I'm a kid and I want to do these things, which fine. I think one of the tough thing is for us as coaches or former coaches, we now are not their only coach. We're now not the one. And so I think we're having to make that adjustment where before it was, you know, if that kid was out for our sport, we still are, but I think to a lesser degree, because I worry a little bit that person X, they can get me to where I want to be. You know, you're just the high school coach, even though half the guys that we've gone on to play college football come back and say, hey, we did the same sort of drills. Yeah. It's not rocket science out there.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. What do we got? Final thoughts? Any final thoughts?
I don't think there's anything wrong with the club stuff. I think if you approach it the right way, I mean, it is another opportunity to compete and to do things. Like I think that part's great. I think if, as long as the message is consistent and true, you know, like some kids just aren't going to be great. Some kids are just going to be good, and that's okay.
You said that earlier, and we had Jay Polson went and played baseball for Iowa. If he would have walked on to the swim team, he was the best diver. If he would have came out for soccer, he would have been faster than all of us. He was one of the best football players. I think he was for maybe all state, all conference for sure, all those things in the city. And baseball, of course, he was unreal. So it didn't matter. Whatever thing, if it was ping pong, he was going to be better than you because he was just, you know, gifted. That's why his nickname was All World. Didn't matter. He made us all look like we were bad. Some people have those talents.
Great. Anything else? Any final? Anything more? Nope. I thought it was a good topic. That's my personal opinion of it. And was a good time for us to come back and revisit. So moving on to history. You ready for this little shockwave? The Little Hawkeye Conference was formed in 1982. Norwalk joined in 1983. Left the Raccoon River and joined the Little Hawkeye Conference in 1983.
What school were in 1983?
Oh boy, I'd have to go back and look. I don't know the answer to that off the top of my head.
Was that Pella, Oski?
Ooh, I don't know.
Knoxville?
I don't know if it would have been, to be honest with you. It might have been.
Boone was in there at one point.
Yeah. Johnston was in there, Waukee, but I don't know when all of that happened. I'll have to do a little more research on that. See, if I remember correctly, football was all conference back in the day, right? So I could go back and look at my records on who they played in 1983 and tell you who was there. So maybe that'll be next week. I'll give you a little update. When did Indianola come?
It was my first year. It was my first year here. So when I started here in 2016, that summer we were still playing CIML baseball. But then that fall is when we started in the Little Hawkeye.
Do you think that change has been good for you? Do you think that change has hurt you competing when you get into districts?
Yeah, again, the district part would be kind of like the club setting. Is it hurt or does it help? I don't know. I don't think you can probably say that. I can tell you it's a great conference for us because of the environments that our kids get to play in. I mean, it's different, you know,
financially.
Yeah. And you know, when we talk the CIML, we were in the metro. That's different than the other parts of the CIML where, you know, the bigger schools and the bigger crowds, but those crowds are not bigger than Little Hawkeye. We will have the best crowds of any conference, at least, I'm not saying better, but at least as good as anybody else in the state of Iowa. I mean, there's no question. Our students get to play in front of a lot of people, and it's fun and it's exciting. And that is more important, at least to me, than whether or not we are 1% better because we played Waukee versus Norwalk or DC.
I know that it's not conference, but I think our football game was pretty well attended.
Yeah, even on a night where the weather was a little iffy and Iowa was playing on the same night.
Yep.
That's a tough draw.
Just so people have an idea, you hosted a regional volleyball game in which the opposing team from the metro brought zero paying fans.
Zero. I mean, it blew my mind. It was my first year there. Zero. The only people that were there to support that school came off the bus.
Yeah, just an idea, a little point of reference for everybody when it comes to that. And so I would say, yeah, all of those things are great, but financially you have to be ecstatic that you're in the Little Hawkeye Conference.
Yeah, that I don't know how you survive when people aren't at your games.
Yeah.
Besides just worry about it every day.
We're going to go to the positive. Are you ready? I have now witnessed my third Chuck-a-Duck. What a great little fundraiser and what a great little deal for the little kids and even the high school kids to get involved in. It has been really good to watch. So Pella did it the one night, then we did it. And then last night at Newton, Newton also did it. So Chuck-a-Duck as our positive for.
In the Chuck-a-Duck, did they have an announcer like announcing, you know, making fun of people as they were doing?
They had an announcer, and at Newton, the cardinal stood over the bullseye, and so you could chuck your duck at the cardinal and hit the cardinal and have it fall down and hope that it fell down on the deal. So yeah. it was a little more, that was probably the most entertaining one out of all of them, was that one, because the cardinal was fair game if you wanted to chuck and hit the
cardinal. Maybe we should do that with you next basketball game and your pinstripe. We'll lock you out and we'll put a helmet on you and throw stuff.
Yeah, that'd protect everything that needs to be protected. Yeah.
Maybe that would get you up to like only 58 minutes of activity left for the month.
Yeah, well, that month is done, Lee. Now it's calories. Now I got to burn calories.
All done. We have been a Chuck-a-Duck school since I've been at Indianola. I would guess that it happened before then. It used to be like project graduation or a post-prom fundraiser. I can't remember. Now it is DECA, the business club that does it.
We did not do it last year
during COVID. Yeah, so I would guess maybe they won't, but they did do it a few times this year already.
Okay.
So it is fun. It gets everyone involved.
Yeah, and especially the little kids. I mean, they're all jacked up, and it's a great little moneymaker.
opposing fans.
Yes.
You know, it's not just limited to the home fans. Newton used to do the 3-point shooting thing where they give you a 2-liter of like Diet Dr. Thunder, which I thought was pretty cool. So they had all those off-brand 2-liters out there. If you, you know, you pay a buck to shoot, yeah. And if you made it, you got that. That's what they did.
At least because the Coca-Cola 2-liter at 219 is way too much.
Well, yeah. If somebody's shooting 50% from the 3-point line, you are losing money.
You're in trouble.
So, but at the end of the day, any little thing like that can get people involved and active, I think is great. That nice little moneymaker. Plus, a lot of entertainement and a lot of fun to watch.
What if someone's dressed up in a pig outfit running around?
Throwing Hershey Kisses at people? Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Okay. I don't know if that's ever happened or not.
That'd be awesome. She talked about it. And she was our history last week was her retiring after 37 years on the job. So here's what we got. First, what sporting event do you make the biggest deal out of? Need to know that. If you got anything for Katie and her theater, and then your thoughts on the Papa Burger, which is the Parent Trap. And then of course, want to thank Bob's Trophies for being our non-sponsor. And then I'll do a little more research as to who was in the Little Hawkeye Conference back when it first started. See if I can figure out that. And this was episode 74, new little twist. We had everybody on tonight, and I think I'm going to play both intro songs just to mess with people. And we'll go from there. So appreciate everybody listening. Appreciate you two being on. And this was episode 74, Parent Trap of Talking the Walk. I am Paul Patterson signing off. Thanks for listening.
I'm Scott. Have a good night.
Guest host Lee Nelson.
Closing time. Thank you for listening to the Talking the Walk podcast show. Yeah.